Good morning, Arizona. Thanks for joining us. Before I introduce our guests, I would like to remind everybody that we are Law Matters will have their first fundraising event September 8th at the Westward Look Hotel. And our guest speaker will be Eric Bauer, who is the attorney who took on Backpage, who is responsible for millions and millions and millions of dollars of sex trafficking. And he's going to tell us everything that went on, even after the FBI took down Backpage. Go to our website, lawmatters1030.org, and tickets can be purchased there. And I hope everybody goes, teachers, parents, aunts, uncles, RAs from the U of A, lawyers, sheriffs. Speaking of sheriffs, we have Mark Danels here, Cochise County Sheriff, one of my favorite people.
Well, thank you, Sherry.
And we have Annette here, who is on our board.
Good morning.
She's the president of the Law Matters organization. I want to talk to you about what's been going on down there in Cochise County. All kinds of stuff. It's about time you let us know what's going on. I understand there was a shooting on the other side of the border. What happened with that?
Well, good morning, Sherry. Good morning, everybody here in Arizona and beyond. You know, it's Cochise County is kind of unique. There's 31 border counties on the southwest border, and Cochise County has always been on the front line of smuggling and the cartels' actions to bring crime into our county and into the United States. But we've done some things over the last several years that has been remarkable, and that is we've taken a proactive stance against the cartel to secure this border, working collectively with our governor, Governor Ducey, who's been awesome and working with us, our local law enforcement, our troopers and state partners, and also our federal partners who, as you see in the media, have been a real, they've been taking a real beating. And I want to talk about that hopefully with you here on that. But we've all collectively come together. But the sheriff's office took a very proactive stance to put a virtual system in place. Right now, we have over 500 cameras in Cochise County, Pima County, Santa Cruz County, and into New Mexico. We're the only local agency that has the National Guard, the military, that watches our cameras 24/7. And we have 100% conviction rate in our county. So if you smuggle in our county, there's a 100% chance if we catch you, you're going to prison. And that's at the local level. We take referrals from Border Patrol and the port folks on any juvenile. You know, we've actually eroded that problem where the cartels were exploiting kids to transport drugs, both through the ports and into the deserts. We went from 36 a day down to one or two. And we remand them as adults, and we prosecute them at the local level. So, again, we've taken a strong stance against the cartel in Cochise County, and the cartels right now are going around us. So, as a result of that, and this was a local issue that took a weakness with the federal government's plan on the border and made a strength out of it. So between what they're doing, what we're doing, it's kind of sealed drug trafficking in Cochise County. Do we have human trafficking, which I call modern-day slavery, as your intro was talking about? That is modern-day slavery at its worst, because these people are being exploited in every way you can. We can talk about that if you wish. But long story short is, we've sealed the border pretty well there in Cochise County. There was a recent shooting here about 3 to 4 weeks ago where the Sinaloa cartel actually, but based on one of the plaza bosses, put a hit on 15 of the leaders in Agua Prieta and Naco, Mexico, where he said, hey, I want them out. I want them gone. Two reasons. One was an internal rift based on attitude. The other was profits are low in Cochise County. Well, they're low because of what we've done, the proactive stance with a consequence attached to it. So double numbers, people were shot down there and killed. It's horrible. I mean, and you got to think about our county. The folks that go into Mexico, a lot of them from Mexico coming to the U.S., these are good people who live in Mexico. There's a lot of good people down there. Unfortunately, they live in a community that's terrorized by the cartel. As a result, we had walking wounded coming into our country, asking for help, medical help, which that was provided. Which is also, once they touch U.S. soil, there's automatic threat, as we all know. And Annette, being a former FBI, if I can say that, Annette.
Sure you can.
Okay. She knows what I'm talking about there. And that's why it's a collective in nature that we all work together. And then this is what's amazing to me and what's scary to me. We had 40 cartel members and some of their families claim credible fear at the border. because they knew, to include a Naco, Mexico police officer that claimed credible fear. And so they're coming, and currently they're on U.S. soil.
So what happens in a situation like that, especially with a police officer? Do we take them in? What happens?
Well, what happens on this, you bet, we took them all in because they're claiming credible fear under the asylum that, oh, they've been threatened and their fear that they're going to kill them, and the cartel will kill them. I just don't doubt anybody's mind on that. And so, and the first thing we need to understand is the fact that these cartels, these criminal cartels, they control the border communities. They truly do, to include the local law enforcement down there. And people will argue with me all day, but I'm telling you, based on intel, based on my 35 years experience working in that county, there's no doubt about that's true. So they're on U.S. soil. They're in DHS, Department of Homeland Security, custody as a detainer right now. I've talked all the way up to the secretary saying, I'm very concerned that we do not release these. Because think about it, these cartel members, they terrorize.
Yes.
And I wonder, and I keep challenging this thought, why they've not been labeled terrorist. Truly. They terrorize, they infect our communities with drugs, they exploit
That's a good question.
People.
Why haven't they been labeled terrorists?
I don't know. I don't know.
Because a whole different attitude goes towards them and laws go towards them if they're caught.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So right now we have an individual that when they come across the border, they claim, and my sheriff's office was down there, I was down there working with our federal partners, with local law enforcement. So we're hearing this, hey, the cartel's killing me, I'm a cartel member. And then we take them into custody, and I'm talking about the Border Patrol. But we know they're terrorists. I'm just going to call it. Let me call it that way. Well, where they've been killing people on the border for many, many years, terrorizing, and now they're in our country. Think about that. And like I made it very clear on many of the news outlets, all the way up to Fox News, if they release them, that's a scary, scary. We have a problem in our system and our process if they get released into our community somewhere in the United States.
That it's going to be a huge problem. I remember when you could go down, I lived in Sierra Vista for quite a while. I remember we go down to the border, you could go to AP, and everything, it was beautiful. You could go down for lunch and go shopping. Not today.
Not today, unfortunately. And let me just rephrase that for a minute, is we have a lot of people in my county that go into Mexico because they share families back and forth. And we have people in Mexico to come over here shop in our county in Tucson. And it's a very good, positive economic boost. Those are the ones that I'm trying to protect. Those are the people I'm trying to protect and keep informed. And as you saw, you know, you have this massive shootout down there, and I don't think it's done. We've had two incidents here. 3 days later, they were shooting again down there. And we had some people come across yesterday that were beat and tortured down there that came across for credible fear. So my whole point to this whole thing is it's ongoing as we speak today. But my job is to inform our citizens. If you're going to go into Mexico, here's what's going on. Be careful. Be careful. And then you make a conscious decision from there.
And it's not just down in the Cochise County area. It's down in Nogales as well.
That's right.
And you have to be really careful.
All along the southern border, all the way down to El Paso, down to Del Rio, Texas, where things are just really out of control on this border.
I just wanted to add that the FBI used to bring up Mexican law enforcement and do training with them. They get to use actual ammunition where then they didn't. But it was so sad because you'd hear on the news so-and-so, and it's like, we knew those law enforcement officers, so it just was heartbreaking for us to see them being picked off and stuff.
No, you don't want to be law enforcement in Mexico because you're going to get...
Right.
I mean, it's dangerous. Yeah. You're going to get
killed. Well, it's deadly. It's deadly, and we just need to understand one thing. It's the division of cultures. Their cultures are not our cultures and vice versa. And where I respect those that are trying to do good things in their country, we also need to be real about that.
Very true. Let's talk a bit about border security in Cochise County and working with the Border Patrol. Tell me what goes on down there.
We work very closely with Border Patrol, our CBP partners, Customs and Border Patrol. We work very close with them, and because we're all sharing the same consumers, and that is the American citizen. And how do we keep them safe? And if we're not sharing intel, if we're not sharing operations, What we do is with the National Guard assigned to our camera room in Cochise County. And by the way, we get about 1,000 pics a day off our cameras. So you can see the need. And Governor Ducey was instrumental getting the National Guard to support that. Again, we're the only local agency in the country that has a military attached to them like us. So this is some benchmarks that we're doing in Cochise County. But we're trying to take that program where we've stopped the cartels from. We haven't had a significant drug load in Cochise County for over a year. That's incredible.
That is incredible.
And when you look at the numbers of people we've put in prison, from the mules, the bandits, the scouts that are now sitting in prison going, I don't like the sheriff in Cochise County. Well, I don't like your behavior either. It's very simple.
Feelings mutual.
A gentleman told me the other day, he stopped and said, Sheriff, you are the sheriff, right? And I said, yeah, I am. And he goes, listen, he goes, I heard a rumor that the cartels are coming after you. I said, I haven't heard that rumor, but maybe that makes sense. I haven't got a Christmas card in the last couple of years. The bottom line is this. I'm joking with that, folks. The bottom line is this, that we're going to do what's right. I mean, any law enforcement officer or agent that takes the oath of office to support our Constitution and our communities, I mean, that's what we do. And Nanette knows what I'm talking about. We have to work together because there is a division between federal and state when it comes to our authority. But if we combine those and blend those, it's amazing the work we can do. And that's been successful. In Cochise County, we've taken the politics out of it. We've taken the personalities out of it. We've taken the egos out of it. And we put will on the table, and the will is to secure that community. And we've done that. I'm so proud of our leadership at all levels down there. And again, Governor Ducey coming down, he's provided me 8 new deputies to help work this border. So that's significant. So we can backfill so we don't lose that quality of response in our county to our citizens. And by the way, I mean, it was just an amazing contract. I told the governor, I said, listen, I just can't do a 3-year deal. I'm working with a cops director. He goes, hey, sheriff, I want to give you some more people. I said, it doesn't do me any good to hire somebody in 3 years. I got to assume that if I don't have the budget to do that. We're a rural county, just like most sheriffs on the border. We've taken an economic hit because of this border. So they've been working very closely with us to get that funding to the border where it needs to go. Stone Garden, for example, that Pima County, which I'll just say this. Great thing about being elected, I work for the people. I don't work for a board. I was so disappointed with the Pima County Board of Supervisors.
Yeah, we all were.
And you should be, because, and the statement was very clear, that they didn't like the policies or the behavior of President Trump. Well, it's not about personality. I don't care if you like the guy or not. He supports border security. He supports public safety. He supports the military.
Do I agree with the job done?
Yes. I've met President Trump. Do I agree with everything he's done? No. But the bottom line is, in the profession, the oath I take, I thank him for what he's done for us.
Yes. And yeah, the Stone Garden, our sheriff was really upset about that. He's called in, and I'm surprised he's not on the phone now since we brought it up. I don't understand why they would want to, we're supposed to take a break. I don't understand why they don't feel we need these funds to help secure our areas just because Trump did something to offend them.
Well, yeah, I thought about that too, Sherry. It's worked for many, many years, and nobody's had a question or even thought about it. Now that we have a president that has a federal touch to these grants, wow, now we're going to stop it.
Now we're going to stop it.
What a shame.
Yeah, and it was a handful of people. It wasn't like a majority of people. There was a couple people there throwing a fit. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in a few. Thanks for staying with us. Our guest today is Cochise County Sheriff Mark Daniels, and he's here raising hell.
No, I'm trying to find the balance within hell.
Oh, okay. Okay. Let's talk about DHS, your connection with DHS, because I know you're represented.
Well, I'm appointed to the Department of Homeland Security Advisory Council, which brings the voice of communities, the voice of sheriffs to the table. There's only 2 local law enforcement that sit on that. Everybody else that comes out of a Washington, D.C. appointment of some place or a business. The CEO of Southwest Airlines sits on that. It kind of shows you the perspective of the folks that sit on that, or they've been prior appointments or prior federal judges. But the police chief from Houston Police Department, and of course myself, are the 2 local reps to sit on that. First sheriff in the country to ever sit on it, which I was very honored to be asked to do that. Part of the reason I was asked was the innovation and just the attention we brought to Cochise County and what we've been through over the last three decades and where we're at today. So I'm honored, but it's great to have this because when we have the shooting and I was just talking about, I mean, that went the assistant secretary, the deputy secretary, and I were speaking on the phone that night, went all the way into the White House with this, and I was told, if you need anything, Sheriff, let us know, which brings that extra support both to our federal agencies, our federal agents, and gives them a voice. Things they can't say, as we all know, that I can say, and I will, and the fact that if we can enhance the quality of life in our communities for sheriffs and work together, that's what it's all about. That's every time I speak, the reason I'm on your show today is to bring facts to what's going on, dispel rumors and myths, and tell you, hey, this is what's going on. I'm trusted by the people, so hopefully the voice that carries out throughout your radios is also trusted by the people to hear it.
Well, that's why we do the show, because we want to hear it from the person who's living it, and that's you and your deputies or any other agency that comes on here. I get really frustrated when I watch the news and they have a little sound bite and then they wrap a story around it, true or not, and that's what people believe. I'd rather hear it from you and know what's going on. You were talking about Congress.
Well, I've made it pretty clear from all the news. I did three interviews in the last couple of weeks. They're all three Midwest type radio shows, very popular radio shows throughout the Midwest, Fox News. I think I did one with Channel 4 here in Tucson, but bottom line is this is, you know, I've watched this evolve for 30 years on this border and seen the, what's the word I'm trying to look for here, the avoidance of truly addressing border issues. And we've had some successes on the border, don't get me wrong, but where the success has not been prevalent or profound is in the area of the rural counties like Cochise. There's 31 border counties, like I said, 28 are rural, considered rural. We've been the direct byproduct of the cartel's activity. And so, and that hasn't changed for 30 years.
No, it hasn't.
Because we have such a little voice in all this. And that's, again, going back to an appointment with DHS has been very beneficial there. But Congress has argued, debated, avoided for the last three decades of how to secure this border. Now we're at a point where we can't even agree to secure the border. The word will, I used that earlier. You know, that's frustrating for me, that as a sheriff elected to protect the citizens of my county, and we've been dealt with attempted murders, murder, home invasions, countless, all the way through drug smuggling that, I mean, I could talk all day about. And why I see people sit in Congress. And I've testified several times in front of Congress and talked about this, and they always give you that warm feeling, Sheriff, thank you for coming. We're going to do something. This is wrong. And I just got
and
invited.
Nothing happens.
I got invited a couple weeks ago, and Sheriff Wilmot Ayuma is another profound voice on this. Sheriff Napier, who I think has done an outstanding job here in Pima County. I have his back, and I think his balance and the way he presents his is exceptional. He just went back there on behalf. I said, hey, you want to try it? So Sheriff Napier went back there and did an outstanding job. Yeah. But where are we at today? Nowhere different.
What's it going to take to change what's happening?
Well, I I'll be very direct on this. First of all, we need to take the politics out of it.
Yes.
We truly need to take the politics. You know, and Anekin from our former FBI agent here, she would agree with this too, is we don't police for politics. We police for people. We police for what the law says we can and can't do. And Annette, I don't know if you have a comment on that.
The thing that I found out that was most troublesome is that people from Washington, D.C. are trying to tell you how to do your job on the border, and they have no clue as to what we're
they're
dealing
not living
with.
It.
And then they'll come fly in and they'll get a tour, but they're not really
they don't
the dangers
experience
and stuff,
what's
yeah.
going on.
Right. So, I mean, so we got to take the politics out of
correct.
It. I think we all agree. Anybody in law enforcement will tell you that. And we don't police for budgets. I know that sounds horrible to say because we're all fiscally responsible, I as a sheriff all the way through. But we do. We police for a mission. And the mission is that quality of life in our communities. And so when I see this Congress that's, and let me give you an example of that. Right now, there's 54,000 people in ICE detainer beds. They're allocated $44,000. That's what's budgeted. So we're $10,000 over the allocation right now. The wisdom of Congress reduced that effective a couple weeks ago, July 1, That wasn't July 1, excuse me. They go off the fiscal. Coming up October 1, down to 34,000 beds. So we have 20,000 more people, which you're well aware of, in ICE retainer beds, and we just took away 20,000 beds. Now, what is Congress thinking? I can tell you what the message is.
Yeah.
They don't support law enforcement. And I know that feeling. And this is what gets me the most is why you can't get up with a crisis on the border like there is. And it ranges in different forms depending on where you're at. I know Texas is bad. Yuma's bad. Congress needs to be supporting our law enforcement officials and professionals at all levels. And I'm not seeing that.
We have a question from Chris on the telephone. Chris, thanks for listening to the show. What's on your mind?
Oh, thank you. Your show is great. I listen to it weekly.
Thank you.
My brother was a building inspector for Cochise County, and I spent some time in South Bisbee recently, just about a year ago, and I would sit out front. This is near the Naco Golf Course. It's looking right into Naco, looking right at the border, and every night I would see it must have been four-wheelers just come down out of the mountains. They'll come down in groups of 10 all night long, just going in, coming back out all night long. And my question was for the gentleman, are you guys aware of this activity, and what exactly do you think they're doing? Or I think it's something nefarious. It has to be something with contraband or drugs. But are you aware of this activity?
We are, and we're aware of it through two means. Number one, Border Patrol's got their system in place. We have our system in place. And we're not getting a lot of drugs, Chris, coming through the border right now. What they're doing is, and this is that modern-day slavery of smuggling, human smuggling. And this is a statement I'll just say. It's the gift that keeps giving. And what I mean by that is, and this is not, I'm saying it in a sarcastic way, is the fact that if they get caught, they just go back and there's more people waiting in line to come across. And it's $6,000, up to $6,000 per person to come across the border. You get three attempts. Well, and then when they get here, they're under the, some kind of servitude to the cartels through sex trafficking, like Sherry's talked about and is very strong on that, labor, or gangs, the male gangs. So there is no good that the cartel is doing. If the cartels are involved, like what you're seeing, it's not good. Unfortunately, there is a lot of groups the cartels are putting through on our county that's at, like you said, that human smuggling. I don't have statutory authority on human smuggling, but let me just say this. We don't turn our heads. If we catch it, we'll address it and turn it over to Border Patrol.
Good. I think that's
May I ask a follow-up question?
Sure.
Okay, now I'm originally from West Virginia. I've been out here since 2001. I talk to my buddies back there, my sisters, and all they do is lecture me. I tell them, we need a wall. We need to get this border secured. We're under siege out here. You know, I'm back in Tucson, and my brother, fortunately, is not in Cochise. No offense, but he's back here in Pima, in Tucson. And I get lectured, oh, you don't need a wall. Oh, they're just immigrants. Oh, they'll just use a ladder. Oh, they have tunnels. It won't stop the contraband. And, I mean, we need this border locked up. And it's just so frustrating. I just don't know how to counter them. I guess they're just reading op-eds from the Washington Post. And it's just very frustrating that we're dealing with it on a physical level. And I get lectured like I'm naive on border issues. And I live 30 miles above the border. And it's just so frustrating. And they act like you guys are jackbooted thugs. They throw the FBI. They throw local law enforcement under the bus. And there is a systematic propaganda war against law enforcement and first responders, and we're the collateral damage of this propaganda.
Well, Chris, you're exactly right, and it's not going to get better. And what I mean by that is, as long as our border, pretty much we're running an open border right now, 99% of all the people that are claiming asylum are coming through. And if you have a child, that's... you might as well figure 100%. And that's the stats I get sitting on this committee. So it's a tough situation. The return to this country with this open border is so vulnerable. It's so negative. People in other countries, or excuse me, other states, the Midwest, the East Coast, that are not addressing or not seeing this firsthand. And you got the largest propaganda, and that's our national media. and they're turning this needle, this pendulum against law enforcement, like we're the bad ones. Congress has set this up for failure, and I mean, if there's an intended direction they're going, well, they're winning. I hate to say that, they're winning.
Okay, now may I ask just one more question of you, sir? And I appreciate your time, and I appreciate what you do, and God bless you.
Thank you.
I had one more question, because my girlfriend lives in Green Valley, and there's a rumor going on down there. Just last week, apparently one of the Madeira Canyon forest workers went over to Elephant Head to clear brush, and I don't know if this is true or not, or if this is just, you know, it's just a rumor, but apparently he had an SUV roll up on him, and four Mexican nationals got out, pointed out, you know, a semi or fully automatic weapons at him, and asked him, "What the hell are you doing here?" And he said, "Well, I work for the parks." So they had a standoff. Eventually they got up and left. He had no phone service there. So when he got phone service, he called 911. Apparently when they got there, they were gone, but they followed the track straight down across the border. Now, is there any validity to that? Because it really scares my girlfriend. And apparently, she said that there's a lot of seniors down there, and they're telling them not to walk in the early morning hours, like a Canoa golf course or anywhere. And that's what I mean about being under siege.
Well,
because
Chris,
when you're retired, you shouldn't worry about people crossing illegally and possibly accosting you. This situation is so out of control. I'm a window washer, and I do all the quick trips. I do all the Circle K's here in Tucson. I see law enforcement. I used to just go up and shake your guys' hand and say, "You guys be safe out there." Now I have to say, "You guys be safe out there. We support you. You have more backing than you know. We understand what's going on. It's a systematic propaganda war." I mean, they're trying to get you guys off the streets.
Well, yes.
I don't know if they want a revolution. They just want, I'll just be blunt.
Well,
they want to turn this country into Russia light.
Well,
and I am not getting it. I just, in this polarization with Trump, Trump's doing a
hey,
good
Chris,
job.
He's, we usually don't talk politics on the show because I really believe that politics and policing are two separate things. We thank you for your question, and I'll let Mark answer it.
Let me say this to you, Chris, and thank you. I appreciate everything you're saying, but most important, let me just say two things. One is thank you for your support for public safety all
around. Absolutely.
We can't say enough about that, and that's why I come on the show for Sherry and all she does for law enforcement at all levels. But number two is contact your local sheriff's office on that question you have. I don't know. It's in Pima County here. But one thing about sheriff's offices, we work directly for the people. So give them a call, and they'll tell you about the safety of that canyon and give you some advice that can help you, and they can direct you to Border Patrol if they need to. So, but thank you again, Chris.
Okay. I want to talk about that, exactly what he was talking about. It seems like you're not really getting any help from Congress about supporting what's going on the borders and helping all avenues of law enforcement. And are we taking a break? Okay, we'll take a break. We'll be back in a few. Thanks for staying with us. Before we went to break, I was going to start talking about Congress and their lack of support for our law enforcement agencies, and I'm going to let Mark talk to you about that.
Well, the biggest thing is this. You know, we're out there doing a tough job. We see, I mean, you're seeing on the national media about, you know, another one dies in Border Patrol's custody, almost an implication that Border Patrol's not doing the right thing. You've all heard about them drinking out of the toilets. I mean, just a general one-sentence statement that, I mean, becomes gospel to the point of truth. I mean, that's just so sad, and shame on our national media for taking those unsubstantiated statements by a person that you can tell has no respect for law enforcement and making that, like, that's the headlines.
Like, that's fact.
Shame on us and shame on the national media. And I've worked with Border Patrol for many years. Every organization has that 1% that we always look at and say, "What are you doing?" But 99% of the people I've worked in my 35 years of law enforcement, I think Ned can attest to, are out there for the right reasons, that carry that badge, take their oath of office, and truly, truly care about the people. I just wish Congress would come up with a resolution, a unified resolution saying, we need to secure the border, and we want to thank all law enforcement for what they've endured and apologize for not supporting law enforcement on this border. And Annette, I don't know if you on the federal side want to say something on that.
No, I totally agree with that. It's just always a constant battle with them. And the media is just not our friend, just to be honest. I mean, well, Sherry is a friend. But, but yeah, we've always had problems to fight that. And yeah, those one-liner zingers get so taken out of context that it's just ridiculous.
And it seems like if they say it loud enough and long enough, everybody goes, this is true.
Well, I tell people, and I think this is very important. I've had a lot of people so discouraged, so especially in my county, with our federal government. And I tell them, and they say, we're not voting. I say, well, never give up your right to vote, your constitutional right to vote. But I also clarify this, too. Make your vote count at the local level. I think that's so important. Know the person you're voting for sheriff. Know who you're voting for board of supervisors. Board of supervisors are very similar to Congress in the fact that they allocate funds for law enforcement at the local level. They set policies. And what we saw with Pima County Board of Supervisors, to me, became a headline. But it became a headline for the wrong reasons. That's what bothers me. So people need to be educated when they vote for the local offices, because at the local level, which is truly what we're all serving as communities, if we have the right people in offices, we can force multiply those communities and we can change what's going on in Washington, D.C. But if we lose our control at the local level, we're in serious trouble in this country because Washington is not the mentor of leadership that I like or I mean, just what I've seen. I mean, it's a feel good when you go back there, but the action doesn't follow. And that's a bothersome to me.
Right. And whether you're here or there, they're going to come tour around and or you're going to go there and they're going to make promises. Promises don't come to fruition.
And Sherry, you're exactly right on that. We had a group of congressional folks, about a dozen of them, come down about 2 months ago now. It's been. And I was talking to them, and we get people from all over the country that we give educational tours. And these aren't show and tells. There's no pony ride. They actually see what's going on, what we've done on the innovative side, but truly what the effect. And Border Patrol is part of that tour with us. So they get to see Border Patrol and their challenges too. I asked the question. I said, these are all sitting congressmen and women. And I said, do you all know the history of the border? You know how we got here? And not one of them knew it. Now think about how scary that is for a minute. These folks are making decisions on border security. Well, let me rephrase that. They haven't done that in a while. But the bottom line is this. They're supposed to be making decisions on this. And I commend them for coming down and getting an education. But not one of them knew how we got into the current situation. Because Congress is transitional in the fact and transient in the fact, not saying in a negative way, in the fact that they come and go. And after 30 years, people forgot how we got into this border plan. And I'm telling you, we need to take the successes of the border and continue and sustain that and take the weaknesses and make a strength like we did in Cochise County. And we can secure this border, and which is don't mix border with immigration.
Absolutely.
Two different programs.
Absolutely. Okay, we have another caller. Ingrid, thanks for listening to the show. What's on your mind?
Your guest asks why concerned that things aren't getting done. And sometimes there's a fear factor. You know, when people are trying to get to the bottom of a nasty situation, they generally follow the money. And the people on the other side of this subject are following the morals. I think a lot of folks are afraid that if they do something, including law enforcement individuals, they're going to get hurt. Either they're going to get hurt or their families and friends.
You're talking by the cartel?
Yes. With a lot of criminal activity, and cartels are particularly nasty, everybody has to climb on board who feels that this is a problem. And now that we've got the legalization of marijuana going on in so many different states, our youth are going to be totally damaged. This is a national crisis.
It is a
crisis.
And
I thank the officer for coming on the program and speaking out like this. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Ingrid.
Thank you, Ingrid, for calling. And let me say something. I on your first point about law enforcement afraid of the cartel, I'm going to counter that a little bit. I'm very impressed with law enforcement down there. Like I said, we have that 1%. I'm not going to talk about them, but 99%, which is the whole, do an awesome job. They stand up against the cartel. They're not afraid of the cartel. They do what's right and what their oath says, and they'll put their lives on the line for that. Second thing I'll say about this is, and you're talking about why things aren't changing. I'll tell you what, this is a personal opinion by Mark, and take it for what it's worth. They're worried about being reelected. They're not worried about what's going to cost. They're not worried about if it's right or wrong. They worry about, will this get me reelected? And I'm telling you, you do what's right. You don't do what's popular. And I'm telling you, you're conscious and you put your head on the pillow every night consciously and you can sleep. You're doing something right. And don't ever challenge your core values and you get down the road. But what bothers me about Congress is nobody wants to step up because they're afraid, wow, man, somebody, they might protest my office. Well, if they're it might happen. You bet. We make decisions. So do what's right.
Yes, absolutely. I want to talk to you about this petition that's going around. Before I ask that, does Cochise County Sheriff have a Citizens Academy?
One of the local police departments does.
Sierra Vista?
Yeah. We have 100 volunteers at the sheriff's office that come from the community, come from Fort Huachuca. I'm very impressed with our volunteers, over 100 of them. So we're so entrenched into our community. It's a positive thing. It's a great thing. I'm very impressed, which reaches back into the community. But when it comes to an actual structured academy through the sheriff's office, we don't.
But you're so involved with your community. Your ranchers have radios. They have immediate access to you.
Right, they do.
Just blows me away. You have more cameras in your community than anybody else.
We do. We're leading the way. We'll have 700 cameras here next 2 months out. And then we're stretching into the other counties to help their sheriffs and local law enforcement too, which complements Border Patrol. And our schools. Every school has a camera. A radio with cameras. I mean, we're just doing some amazing things down there to protect our community. So we work every day with our community. That's what it's all about. That's why I'm honored to be the sheriff in that county.
I think every county should have a sheriff like you.
Well, thank you. And I would say the majority of sheriffs in this country that I've got to work with, we're all very similar. Again, sitting here in Pima County, knowing your sheriff, I'm very impressed with your sheriff. Sheriff Leon Wilmot, all the sheriffs have a
How's community. He doing?
He's doing well. He just got back from the Northern Triangle. He went to El Salvador to actually take a first bird's eye view of what it looks like and what's going on down there. I was scheduled to go, but I had another conflicting event. I couldn't go. But long story short is that just tells you sheriffs are going down there to look and see what's going on and get that realistic touch so they can bring it back. So when we talk, we're not just talking about a perception. We're talking about what's really going on. But he's doing very well.
And when they come back with this knowledge, is there a way of stopping this before it starts marching through Mexico to the American border? Is there a way of helping these people in their own country?
Well, that's part of what the Secretary McAleenan from Department of Homeland Security is pushing really hard. He has spent a lot of time down there. I'm working on a subcommittee for him right now, which is the nonprofits, the faith-based organizations that have been helping these folks that are coming across, and just figure out how can we do this better. Because it's true. There are people that have come across are looking for that better way of life. It's right. Humanitarian. Right. And the situation we're in, whether we like it or not, whether we agree with it or not, the bottom line is we're in it. So let's see what we can help these groups that are helping others. And so I'm working on that subcommittee for the secretary right now. In fact, I'll be going to D.C. in 2 weeks for some long discussions, let's put it that way, on this specific topic.
Okay, I want to talk to you about this petition that's been going around. They're wanting to make Tucson a sanctuary city.
let me just say this. That just disgusts me. And I know it sounds horrible to put it so bluntly, but I think you know me well enough. I think your viewers have heard me before. No, I don't skirt it. And I'll tell you why. The 31 border sheriffs, along with our federal partners, FBI that looks at the corruption side of this, all of us that work together and share that value and our oath of office, we work hard to stop those criminals from coming in our country. What I'm talking about there is all we see in the paper are the children and the moms. That's what the national media has focused on.
Right.
What they don't focus on are the ones that are totally 100% camouflaged out, that are coming to your country, that are aggravated deportees, which means they're felons that have been deported.
And they're coming back.
It happens every day on the southern border. These are very dangerous people that are working for the cartels, that want to insert themselves into your community for every reason but good. So that's what I'm focused on here when we talk about it. When the sanctuary cities are, and plus, let's just face it, I mean, coming in the country illegally, I'm not talking about the ones credible fear. I'm talking about the ones that come across, and that's what I see in Cochise County for the smuggling, is these are the ones that don't want to be caught because they're bad. But these sanctuary cities are saying, hey, get to us and we'll take care of you because we're not going to work with our federal partners. Number one, you're dividing local and federal law enforcement.
Right.
That is never a good idea. There was a protest yesterday from ICE. I just sit back and go, wait a minute. These people have gone through a due process, judicial process, to say you can't be in the country no more because of this reason. That's the law. As your show says, law matters.
Right.
And just to ignore that is just incredible to me. And for somebody that's been forcing the law for 35 years, and all of a sudden we're going to say, well, the city leadership, first of all, did you read your oath of office? I'd ask them to go back and look at that before they continue that conversation. But just to ignore the law and say the federal government's wrong, we know what we're doing, I think that's just despicable at the worst. And it's not a quality of life enhancement. It's an erosion in so many ways. And while I'm on this committee, I know Tucson's a factor in this, the humanitarian effort with churches and nonprofits. I'm trying to find relief for them. And they're wanting to say, bring us more, bring us more. What's the end result? Are you looking into the future, the big picture, or are we just going to go ahead and just say, it's no problem? And then when it is a problem, we say, wow, what happened? Well, that time is too late. We got to be proactive. We got to show prevention on that. And I'm just, one last thing on that, Sherry, is the fact that by us on the front line, the 31 border sheriffs and law enforcement at all levels standing united to secure our border and to have sanctuary leadership, and I use that word lightly, saying, come on, get through them and we'll take care of you. That is an officer safety issue. The probability, and I've seen it, they'll do whatever it takes to get away from us, whether it be a high-speed pursuit, whether it be a physical altercation, whatever it is, they will do what it can. Because they know if they can get through us, that front line, they got a comfort zone there in these sanctuary cities. Well, I'm opposed to sanctuary cities. I think they're wrong. They're dividing this country in so many ways. Arizona does not have any sanctuary cities. Now, Tucson wants to step up and be the first. Well, shame on you.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in a few. Thanks for staying with us. I want to get back to this petition that they have going around for making Tucson a sanctuary city. Before we get back to that, I want to tell people, if somebody asks you to sign a petition, make sure you know what it's for. I remember it was in front of an Albertsons. Some young man had petitions. He said, sign these, and we're trying to get teachers a raise. And when I look closer at the situation, he was actually trying to get marijuana on the ballot. So be careful what you're signing.
Well, be informed what you're signing. You know, back to that legalization of marijuana that you're talking about, Sherry. I went to Colorado and spent time with 8 sheriffs up there. This is about a year and a half after they legalized marijuana. What was the first thing they were saying throughout the country? That would help the youth. That would help schools. They haven't received a penny in their schools. I'll tell you right now, the epidemic with youth overdoses and usage is skyrocketing in that state because we sent the message to our youth that's okay. Drugs are okay. Marijuana is okay. I think we need to look at the history of these states that have legalized marijuana before we be educated and be informed before you make that decision. And like you say, know what you're signing. And it's scary. I was on the committee with Governor Ducey to the anti-legalization marijuana a couple of years ago, and we were successful in that. But again, that's a battle that we know is going to continue. But we got to be smart about it. We truly got to be smart about it.
Absolutely. I think it's a huge mistake. And when you hear about some of the things that have happened in Colorado and some of the other states, it's like, do we really want that here?
Well, can I say one other thing
on
that? One of the things the sheriffs in Colorado were sharing with me was the fact that you think of that, it's a legalized grow now. The cartels moved into Colorado. It's kind of like the hub, the central hub of corruption. They moved into that state. It's a beautiful state. It truly is. But what they did was the legal grows were being forced out through violence, through murder, through intimidation by the cartels. So the cartels moved into Colorado. Plus, you divided your federal and your local again because the federal government sees marijuana as illegal. Now we see it as legal in Colorado. So I know DEA and the local law enforcement were butting heads, not in a negative way. They just didn't understand which way to go with it all. So again, I'm not a proponent of legalization of marijuana by what you can hear me say here.
In Colorado, they have 13 counties that are sanctuary counties and two cities that are sanctuary, and they've got problems. And
yes,
back,
they do.
Back to our petition, the young lady who filed all these signatures in Tucson was quoted as saying, law enforcement will not police checkpoints. Number one, does she have the authority to tell you what to do?
No, she doesn't. You know, and we have a, no, she doesn't have the authority. We work for the people, but that's not the voice that regulates what we do. The laws is what we regulate, what how we do things. And we have a motto at the sheriff's office, and I share it with your viewers, is this, that we're all entitled to an opinion, just like her. But but we're not entitled to our own facts. So I think that's very important.
Yeah, these are made up facts. This isn't going to fly. And just so people know, and I printed out the updated sanctuary cities list, and this was updated in April. There are 9 states, and inside 19 more states, there are 134 counties, 35 cities, and 2 states, New Mexico and Rhode Island, all their county jails are sanctuary. Why does Tucson have to join this? It makes no sense.
Well, I'd invite these Tucson's leadership to go visit these sanctuary cities.
Yes.
San Francisco. Go to these places in Colorado. Go talk to their local leadership and see. And I'm talking about not just the ones that proposed it, but the ones around, like your sheriffs, these other folks, and just take that quality of life and look at it and say, how's that going to look in Tucson? And then make a reasonable decision, a balanced decision, because I don't see any good coming out of that. Arizona's a beautiful state. Cochise County is a beautiful. I love living there. It's very safe. I'm proud of what we've done down there. These kind of decisions only erode from where we've gone and where we've been, and where we're going. It just scares me, and I'll stand up against any, whether it be the mayor of Tucson, whether it be your city council, whether it be the board, because I'm not looking through the same lens they are. So have us at the table. I would hope they would talk to Sheriff Napier and get an opinion from him, get an opinion from the National Sheriff Association that's working with these sanctuary areas and some of the issues we're seeing. It's not a good decision.
No, it's not, and I believe in humanitarian efforts
we
for
all
people.
Do.
We all do. But to turn our city into a sanctuary city, that's a huge mistake. And I'm hoping everybody out there listening, when this comes up, if it makes the ballot, use your head.
Well, let's think about it. This is an old thing that we all grew up with. Two wrongs don't make a right.
Correct.
Two wrongs don't make a right. And y'all can build from that thought. But I just... Let's balance this back out to where we need to go. Let's help those in need. That's what we're all about as a country. But to ignore the law, to ignore our federal government, serves no purpose.
No, and it makes it very difficult for everybody to work together. Like you said, they can't work together if you're splitting things up.
Well, again, it goes back to, are you doing what's legally right, morally, ethically right, or are you doing what's going to create what you think to get you reelected? Please make the right decision legally.
Amen. Okay. I want to thank you for coming up.
I always like coming. Sherry, thank you for what you do for this community, for the state. I mean, you're a venue, you're a vehicle to get our message out there. And I know public safety as a whole, having Annette sitting on your board is a huge, huge asset for what her knowledge is and her experience. But thank you for what you're doing, Sharon, and kind of keeping this together for us. You're the media that's gluing the good and compared to the rest.
That.
Thank you.
Thanks. And don't forget to check out our website. And I would love to see everybody at our event, September 8th. It's a Sunday brunch, and it's very casual. You don't have to wear tuxedos or anything. Just come in, get educated, listen to what Eric has to say. Everybody should know what's going on. And you don't know what you don't know until you hear it. And until next week, we're going to have the contractors on versus handymen. We're going to find out what's going on with that next week. Until then, shop local, stay safe, and see you then.